it's that time of year to wrap up warm in front of the fire and watch perhaps a nice film or a classic on the television. And what is more classic than the Classico? It's the Christmas Classico, everybody. The 2017 Real Madrid versus Barcelona game. It's the first La Liga clash between the two of the season. And here is Marcus Eye on La Liga to preview that game. I am joined, your host Mark Mayo, by two experts of La Liga who can really drill into this game and tell you exactly how it's going to go. I want a sterling prediction at the end of the show, guys, so keep that in mind. And first of all, it is Jason Pettigrove joining me. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Looking forward to chatting about this one. Big game. So, yeah, just in time for the Christmas festivities as well.
And we also have Ewan McTeer on the line. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, good. I'll try and not sit on the fence and try and, yeah, like you say, predict exactly what's going to happen at the Bernabeu this Saturday.
Well, if there's going to be a win in this game, then it's going to be quite decisive for the La Liga title race, one way or another. And we'll start then just by talking about how the lineup is going to look. We've had a piece on the Marco English website talking about how this is kind of a Classico without many secrets. We are expecting Karim Benzema to keep his place, Isco to keep his place in the side for Real Madrid. Who gets the nod in the Neymar spot? Kind of looks like Paulinho. So I want to ask you guys if that is how you would line up. Jason, Paulinho starting in perhaps a more defensive mode for Barcelona, does it make it? Is that a bit deceptive, thinking that Paulinho starting makes it deceptive for Barcelona, or makes it defensive for Barcelona?
I think, yes, you're quite right to say that if he does start, and especially alongside Busquets, it will make it a little more defensive. But I think we believe that Valverde is going to start with a 4-4-2, you know, at least for the beginning of the game. But you're saying about sort of the Neymar spot, I actually think that we're going to see potentially a four in the midfield of Rakitic, Iniesta, Paulinho and Busquets. But then we might see, you know, Alex Vidal coming on a bit later on to, I would say, probably for Rakitic to give them a bit more speed. Because I don't think, against this Real Madrid team, I don't think you can play a sort of a defensive formation for the entire 90 minutes. At some stage, you've got to take the game to them. And, you know, we know Barcelona are capable of doing that. I think from Valverde's point of view, what he wants to do is just get a result, whether that's a win or a draw, either of which I think would be OK for them. That's what they need. Paulinho, we say defensive, but look what he's provided to them in attack as well. I think he's the third highest scorer in the team, behind Suarez and Messi. So I think, as well, going forward, he certainly can supplement their attack. And you mentioned about the Benzema, and I think we had a thing with Bale as well on site. I think it's a good move by Zidane to keep Bale back. There's obviously been this huge issue with his injuries. And I think, you know, Benzema does bring something different. I know he's not in the best of form, but he is physical. He's a proper centre-forward, if we can call him that. And, you know, if he's not having the best game, then Bale comes on, fresh legs later on. The pace is going to trouble Barcelona. So, yeah, let's see what happens.
We had a poll, as Jason mentions, 50% of fans on Marco English say that they would bench Benzema, with 26% saying they would bench Isco. Only 13% going with what we expect Zidane to do and bench Bale. You, and then a quick word on both teams then from you, if I can get, because I think that Sergi Roberto playing, he's going to play right back for Barcelona at Madrid. I get the sense that almost, if Nelson Semedo was good enough to play right back, that would be the ideal for Valverde, because he would then be able to push Sergi Roberto into midfield, which might be a bit more of a versatile option than maybe Rakitic or Paulinho or someone. And that would allow perhaps a little bit more of a balance with a full-blown right-back, more of a natural right-back as well. Would you agree with that, or would you say that perhaps Roberto isn't necessarily the one that they want at right-back but kind of have to play because he's playing so well?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think Jason made the point of Vidal might come on later on and provide another option, but maybe, you know, if Semedo was good enough to hold down that right-back spot, maybe he starts at right-back and maybe it's Sergi Roberto who comes on instead of Vidal to play that sort of almost more attacking role and make it maybe a front three later on. So, yeah, it's a bit of a worry for Barcelona that Semedo hasn't maybe settled in quite as quickly as they would have hoped. But, you know, Roberto's played right back almost all of last season. And, of course, he was the one who made that burst forward at the Bernabeu in April to give to inject some hope into that title race and to, you know, print I Liga across all the front pages in Spain. So he knows what he's doing at the Bernabeu. He can be good at right back. But yeah, it does give them fewer options in the attacking sense. And then looking at Real Madrid, I mean, it's such an interesting debate with Benzema, Isco and Bale. And we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, that it was so interesting that maybe Real Madrid's best half of football of the season was the first half against Sevilla. And that came without Isco on the pitch. They were 5-0 up at half time, and Isco was nowhere to be seen, which is so peculiar in a way, because he's probably been their best player this season. But maybe there was more balance to that Real Madrid team with a bit of width. So maybe Bale being on would have been a... I don't know, maybe that would be the smarter option. But again, how could you bench Isco when he's been playing so well this season? And yeah, like Jason said, and like a lot of the readers in the poll have maybe thought as well, putting Bale on the bench and then coming on later on if Real Madrid need a goal, that's certainly not a bad option either, is it?
No, absolutely not. And we've come up with our combined 11s as well for Real Madrid and Barcelona, going through which players we think in each position sort of playing off each other. Starting in goal, I think 6 months ago I would have gone with Keylor Navas, but as it happens, I've gone with Marc-Andre ter Stegen in goal. And then my defence is Dani Carvajal, Gerard Piqué, Samuel Umtiti and Jordi Alba. The reason there's no Sergio Ramos in there is because I've sort of gone for the partnership of Piqué and Umtiti. I think that's the best partnership in almost world football at the moment when it comes to defence. So that's my defensive lineup. Ewan, can you tell us your defensive lineup and sort of explain why you've gone with that?
Yeah, I mean, like you, I've gone with ter Stegen in goals, and I've gone with the same defensive line, except I have put Ramos in place of Piqué, and I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, Piqué and Umtiti have this great chemistry, but looking at I've just looked at individual performances so far this season, and I'd say the two best centre backs, and not just out of the classical teams, but the two best centre backs, in my opinion, in all of the Liga so far, have been Ramos and Umtiti. So I've gone with them, and with Jordi Alba and Carvajal in the fullback spots.
Where do you lie on that one then, Jason?
Pretty much for the same reasons you've all gone for. I've picked exactly the same, but I must have misunderstood the brief, because I thought it was a combined 11 with players that are fit. So Umtiti comes out and Ramos goes in. If we were looking at it from the perspective of just a general combined 11, then yes, absolutely, Umtiti goes in there, because he's been sensational behind Messi. He's been Barcelona's most important player. I just want to say as well, actually, I'm delighted that Dani Carvajal's back. I mean, that health scare that he had in the early part of the season, no one really knew, you know, how that was going to sort of pan out. So I think, you know, it's great to see him back and playing so well as well.
Absolutely. When it comes to the right back spot, there is no argument between any of us. Dani Carvajal walks into that for combined 11 terms. And then in midfield, I have left out Sergio Busquets, which I know will be incredibly controversial and probably lead to many people thinking I know absolutely nothing about La Liga. But again, I just kind of felt when you're building a team, perhaps if you've got Casemiro in there, he just provides that balance that he's done so well for Real Madrid. Then I have Modric and Iniesta as the sort of two more attacking central midfielders in a 4-3-3 combination. Is there any arguments from either of you with Modric and Iniesta, and then would it be Casemiro or Busquets behind?
No, I have gone for Busquets in my one, so I'll have to level that argument that, Mark, you know nothing about La Liga. I have to say that, because I have gone for Busquets in this one. But again, I mean, these are two of the teams with two of the best defensive midfielders in the world. So I think if you're a manager, you've got to be happy with either one of them. And like yourself, I've gone with Modric and Iniesta on those slightly more attacking central midfield roles.
And whereas I've gone for Busquets, Iniesta and Isco, and a difficult one because Modric has been great, but I think, you know, you just pointed it out a few minutes ago, you know, Isco's been their go-to guy for, you know, much of the last few months. And for that reason, I've stuck him in there.
Yeah, I suppose that's my sort of view of a combined 11, is that if I'm going to build a team, then if it's a 4-3-3 formation, I wouldn't have Isco in there purely because he doesn't really play a 4-3-3, if you know what I mean. If it's a 4-2-3-1 and you want someone just in behind that hole, then I think you probably have maybe Busquets and Modric, Busquets and Iniesta with Isco behind that striker. And the front three, then, I think we might all well be in agreement here with Messi, Ronaldo and Suarez, the ones that I've gone for. Jason, I imagine that's the same?
You imagine correctly. Your crystal ball's been working overtime, Mr. Mayo.
Well, I have been able to squeeze Isco in there, sort of on the left of a 4-3-3. As you mentioned, Mark, it's an interesting formation to try and fit Isco into. So I've sort of put him in that old Neymar role. And yeah, of course, with Messi and Ronaldo there. Although it was a difficult one, I was considering putting Thomas Vermaelen as a false nine, but in the end, I've decided to put Cristiano Ronaldo up top, and I think that's probably a bit wiser.
They're 1-0 down with a couple of minutes to go on Saturday, then don't rule out Thomas Vermaelen being the man they throw up. Although I mean,
Jeremy Mathieu scored the winner in the Clásico, so anything can happen.
Well, yeah, Gerard Piqué also is a man who scored some quite invaluable goals at the Bernabeu. Certainly Real Madrid fans will remember that as well. Talking about the Bernabeu, is home advantage really going to count in this game? Three of the last four Clásicos in La Liga have been won by the away team. Is it one of those derby things where we think all form goes out the window, home advantage goes out the window, etc.? Or is the Bernabeu crowd going to play a big part in this game?
I think because it's El Clásico, there seems to be, well, obviously there's a lot more pressure on the teams to get a result. But I think the pressure from the stands, and particularly the Bernabeu, I mean, even when Real Madrid have played against teams that are not Barcelona, if things aren't going their way in sort of the opening 15-20 minutes, already you can hear the whistles and the boos from the stands. And it's something that the Real players have actually had to come out, and Mark have reported on it in the past, that, you know, they've asked the crowd, you know, get behind the team. And I think really home advantage in that sense really isn't an advantage. It can be more of a hindrance, because you need the crowds of the 12th man. And if all they're doing is sort of booing every pass and whistling if things don't go well, clearly that's going to transmit down to the players on the pitch. I think, you know, this is a must-win game for Real Madrid. And on that basis, you know, the crowd really need to get behind them from the first whistle and provide that injection that's going to push the Real players on. I think if they do that, I think it possibly tips the advantage in Real's favour.
It's interesting to see how the Bernabeu is going to react to certain instances in the game, whether there's a refereeing decision or Barcelona score, because Real Madrid haven't kept a La Liga Clásico clean sheet at the Bernabeu since October 2006, which almost makes it inevitable in a sense that Barcelona are going to get a goal, although obviously in the Supercopa second leg at the start of the season they didn't manage it. Barcelona do come into this in pretty sterling form. They're going for a calendar year record for goal difference. They want to break the 100-point barrier with a win for 2017. They need 5 goals in this game to break the La Liga record, 4 goals in a calendar year. And yet, Ewan, I sort of sense that a point would still be good enough of Valverde. There's not been a Bernabeu draw in La Liga for this game since April 2011, just to throw one final stat at you before you get to speak, Ewan. But a point in this game for Valverde, is that good enough?
I think a point would be a perfect result for Barcelona. I mean, you know, of course they're going to want to win, and everybody's saying that they want to win. But not so much just from the point of view of maintaining their gap, but I think a point would maybe snuff out any Real Madrid optimism. I mean, if Real Madrid win this, then obviously they pull closer to Barcelona in the La Liga table, but then they're also going to be spending, you know, this short winter break that we have, growing in optimism, growing in confidence, and maybe they come into the second half of the season believing that they can mount a comeback. Whereas if they get a draw, maybe any sense of momentum that Real Madrid have from thrashing Sevilla and from winning the Club World Cup, and any sense of momentum that they can have, a draw would just completely rule that out. Whereas I think a win is not just a terrible result from Barcelona in terms of losing or seeing their gap reduced, but it would really, really foster that sense of Real Madrid being able to mount another one of their famous remontadas, another La Liga comeback.
I want to have a quick word from you, Jason, before we go on to the predictions then, to round off this preview of the Clásico. Barcelona's Guard of Honour has been a bit of a subject of debate. Perhaps it's only been a subject of debate in Real Madrid corners and not so much in Barcelona corners. Do you think there's a case to be made to say that there should be a Guard of Honour for this game, or is it really perhaps expecting a bit too much at this stage of the season as well?
Well, I mean, I think the official line from Barcelona has been that they'd quite happily give a Guard of Honour if it was a competition that they were involved in. I think that seems to be the sort of the general feeling from everywhere. The fact that they weren't involved with it, you know, dare we say that the Club World Cup's a slightly lesser tournament than, you know, the Champions League or La Liga, for instance. I think it's a nonsense, frankly. I mean, if they want to do it, go ahead and do it. If they don't, who really cares? I mean, I suppose if you want to be gentlemen about it, they could do it. But the fact they don't have to, I think it's almost like it's taking focus away from the game itself. You know, maybe, you know, we don't know, but maybe that's a ploy, you know, from Real Madrid. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo was the first person to come out and say about it, literally in the immediate sort of aftermath of the Club World Cup win, I want Barcelona to give us a guard of honour. Well, that's obviously going to sort of get backs up in Catalonia. And again, maybe it shifts the focus. Maybe it gets the Barcelona players thinking about, you know, we're not having that. And, you know, for this sort of game, the importance of this game, you need to be 100% focused on what's going to happen on the pitch, what your job is. You know, you don't want, you know, media taking your focus away throughout the week, or why aren't you giving a guard of honour, etc., etc. It's complete nonsense, in my opinion.
Prediction time then. It's going to be, for me, I mean, I'll jump in first to take the weight off, I suppose, before I throw over to you guys. And I'm going to go with a Real Madrid 2-0 victory in this game. I think the Supercopa does have a bit of a bearing on this game as to how Valverde may just be a bit too tentative in how they set up at the Bernabeu, and perhaps an early goal and then maybe a dodgy refereeing decision comes one way or another. We cannot rule that out. So I'm going to go for a 2-0 Real Madrid win. I'm going to throw it over to you now, Ewan. Any final thoughts on the game and your prediction, please?
Yeah, like we mentioned before, I mean, the Clásicos just always tend to have goals. I think, you know, we look at other leagues around the world and some of the biggest games tend to be a bit of a disappointment in the end. That's never really the case with the Clásicos. So I'm expecting goals, and I do think this will be a draw. I think if it is level towards the end, I think Barcelona will be happy and not necessarily sit back, but we saw them do that against Sevilla. They can maybe finish the game with three defensive midfielders on the pitch, and I believe Barcelona, if they are level with about 10 minutes to go, they will happily take that draw. So I'm going for a 2-2. I reckon there'll be goals, but I don't reckon there'll be a winner.
Okay, I agree with Ewan that there'll be goals. I think, you know, if there's one thing I can level at Zidane, it's that he doesn't shore up his defence enough. There's, you know, not too often does he have a clean sheet, so Barcelona will score. I just think that it's a must-win game. You know, Barcelona were without Dembele. They can't even bring Deulofeu in as an extra player. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Real Madrid victory. As much as it